welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict Inn. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Garrett.
And today we are talking about The Walking Dead Season 6, Episode 4, entitled Here's Not Here. It was written by Scott Gimple, who's an executive producer of The Walking Dead. He's also done a show called Fillmore. And it was directed by Stephen Williams, who is an executive producer on Lost, one of my favorite shows of all time. And he's also directed How to Get Away with Murder, and he's going to be directing a new show called Westworld. And then our guest star this episode was John Carroll Lynch, who played on Fargo, the movie.
Yep.
I just recently saw Fargo, the movie. Like,
oh, really?
Literally within the last year. After season one.
Oh, so you saw the television show first.
I saw the television show first. Loved it. Best show. Almost the best show I've ever seen. It was awesome. And then I watched the movie. And he also plays on American Horror Story.
Which we need to catch up on.
No, I'm too scared to watch American Horror Story. And The Americans and Do No Harm. All right, so before we get into our likes and our dislikes, Gary, what did you think of the episode?
I liked it. I liked it more than I thought I would. When I first heard it was going to be an hour and a half of Morgan, I guess I was like everyone else. I'm like, oh, man, what can Morgan do for half an hour?
Yeah, for an hour and a half. Now,
yeah, hour and a half.
Now, you first originally didn't think it was going to be all Morgan. Remember, you kind of thought it was going to be like half Morgan and then go back.
Yeah. I thought it was probably going to be like 45 minutes to an hour of Morgan. And it was going to give us like an action-packed half an hour.
Right. Go back to the present day.
Right.
I thought so, too. Like, I thought even by like when it was almost 10 o'clock, I was like, okay, the last half hour will probably go back to present day. Then I still had hope alive. Like, it was 10:24. I was like, okay, these last 5 minutes are going to be present day. Which I think, like, maybe the last 2 minutes were present day. But I'm not going to say I did not like this show, the episode. But it's so far, it's been my least favorite this season. Of course, it's only 4 episodes. But surprisingly, I don't think it's my least favorite episode of Walking Dead overall.
Right.
That still goes out to Beth when she was in that hospital. But we did not do an instant cast. Let's just go ahead and address that up front. You guys, I don't know if anyone was looking for an instant cast, anyone cared. But we didn't do an instant cast because it was super late when it came off. And I didn't really have shit to say.
Yeah, it wasn't exciting enough.
It wasn't. Instant cast. It was like, if we came on the instant cast, it would have been like, so that's the episode. I would have sounded like the Clear Eyes guy. You know the Clear Eyes commercial?
Yeah.
Way back in the day. That's what I would have sounded like, because that's kind of how the episode was. It was just kind of like steady the whole time, and maybe little peaks of action here and there, but not much.
Right.
But like I said, it wasn't the worst episode. I'm not even going to say I hated it. I just did not enjoy it that much.
I did. It was times where I just was caught myself just drawn into it.
Really?
Like, just sitting there, and I'm like, oh, wow, I done watched this. In fact, to me, it didn't feel like an hour and a half.
Oh, I felt every last minute, every last second. Actually, I think I almost fell asleep at one point. I was like, oh, shit, Walking Dead was still on. Like, I literally got drowsy a little bit.
I guess I still had hope. I had hope that was, you know, it was like some monks. He was in a hidden temple this whole time.
Right.
You know, practices kung fu, getting right. You know, I just had that karate movie in my head for some reason.
Okay.
But this is cool, too. It was cool.
All right. So if you guys, is this the first time you're listening to our podcast? The way it works is we have our likes, our dislikes. We'll do listener letters. And then we will do awards and predictions. And like I said, I didn't hate the episode. Clearly, we do have likes and dislikes. So we'll start off with the likes. The first one is just getting Morgan's backstory. I was happy that we got to see where he was all this time, what he was doing.
Where he was since Rick left.
Well, since Rick left, yeah, because we still never got to see.
Since Michonne stole his candy bar, whatever she stole.
The protein bar.
The protein bar.
Because we still didn't get to see from the time that Rick left him the first time when his son was still alive.
Yeah.
But we can just assume the son somehow got caught up. Got snatched by a walker or something. A walker tiptoed. A walker tiptoed and got the sin, probably.
Probably.
We know how
probably.
That goes.
But do you think that, you know, Michonne stealing his protein bar set him off?
Is what made him go crazy? Just, no, because he was already crazy when they saw him.
But because you know that one thing could just push you over the edge.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's dealing with, you know, the craziness of the world already. And then he wake up one day and his protein bar missing.
After he leave, yeah.
And Michonne's missing with it.
Right. I don't know. That could have made him go crazy. That could have made him say, I'm killing everybody. Right. Anybody that comes in sight.
Right.
All right. And next, like, we have is Eastman's backstory. In the second year, the only other character pretty much in the show. I liked hearing his backstory. Just hearing that his family died and they didn't die after the zombie apocalypse, they died pre.
Before, yeah.
And to hear how they died, like, to me, actually, I think that was, like, my favorite moment. I mean, it's sad, but I think that was, like, my favorite moment in the episode. Hearing how he knew this guy was crazy and was a monster, and how that moment that guy knew that he knew, you know?
Yeah.
I love that. I loved hearing that story. And then just to hear that his family died, it kind of just brought dark memories. Like, I thought of Dexter, I thought of Seven. It was those dark memories that made it kind of exciting at the same time. Like, ooh, I want to know more.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I thought that was the end of it. You know, this guy killed his family.
I thought it was the end of it also, because he said that he cherished life.
Right, right. But to hear that he went and got revenge, I mean, those were my favorite parts of the episode.
Well, to see it. To actually see the grave.
Yeah, to see, yeah, and then to see the grave, because when it showed the grave, I was like, why is it pointing in that grave? And then I saw the name, and I said, oh, it hit me, you know? And then to hear him say, yeah, he starved that guy out. It took him 47 days to die, which sounds about right, because I heard that you can live without food for, like, 30 days, I believe. So, 47 days, like, the die, I mean, people die from hunger all the time, unfortunately, but that's a sick way to go. Like, that's painful.
That is. Especially when you're eating
in front of them. Yeah, eating in front of them. Oh, karma, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that guy was still a monster.
Yeah, he was a monster. I mean, he killed the wife and child.
Well, he broke out of jail just to kill his family.
Just to kill the family.
Then turned himself back in.
Okay, well, almost, it sounded like they let him out of jail. And then when they let him out of jail, you know how you hear people?
No,
so he actually broke out.
He broke out.
Okay, because I was going to say, you know how sometimes you do hear people get out of jail and then, like, 48 hours later, they're killing and they're robbing.
Yeah.
Again. It's like, come on, you didn't learn your lesson?
He said he actually broke out.
Just
to kill his family.
Wow.
And then turned himself in.
Yeah, with blood, the blood dripping on him. Like, how did he, I don't know, how did he not get killed in prison? Like, how did another, I mean, I'm not advocating for violence or anything like that, you know, the art of peace. But how did someone else in jail, you know, usually, like, prisoners, they kind of, like, I don't know, don't they have, like, a law?
Like a code?
Yeah. Like, you killed a kid, you'd think he would have got hurt in prison.
Yeah.
All right, so I liked Morgan killing those guys that tried to sneak up on him. I think it was, like, a father's son, uncle, nephew. I don't know what the duo was, but he killed him fast. And I didn't really even feel sorry for him, due to the fact that we know when they were sneaking up on him, they were about to try to kill him.
Yeah, they definitely were going to kill him or kidnap him.
Kidnap, well.
Most likely kill him.
Yeah, most likely kill him. Only the wolves kidnap people.
That's not true, because you've seen the other people get kidnapped in the past.
Who?
Like Beth got kidnapped.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. I forgot. I keep forgetting about Beth. What did you think about the jail not being locked up? Like, that cell not actually having a lock on the gate?
I thought it was funny that Morgan was trying to break out. And, you know, he did everything to try to try the door.
Try the door. Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that part. Him trying to actually undo the whatever.
But if you think about it, who would actually try the door?
Yeah. Well, it seems like you would shake the door, like, oh, I want to get out of this place. And then when you were shaking the door, you were like, oh, okay, it's unlocked.
Maybe.
But either way, I liked it.
Yeah.
Now, this is treading on likes, sort of dislikes, but it's still in my likes list, or it's still in our likes list, is just Eastman saying that, you know, explaining how humans feel. And he's saying killing is not in our nature. People may say it's in our nature, but he said it. And when he said it, I was like, that makes sense. He's like, we don't have claws, we don't have fangs, we don't have stuff that other animals have to kill. Well, we have teeth and stuff, but still, we're not made to kill. We have feelings afterwards, you know? You don't see a lion kill a lamb and then go and feel sad about it. Like, that'll never happen. They'll never feel sad about it, you know? They kill and they move on.
It's, kill it, eat it,
yeah,
move on.
Yeah. Whereas most people, if they kill, even if it's in the heat of passion or even if it's planned, most people kind of feel a certain way about it. I'm guessing.
Have a conscience.
Yeah, they have a conscience. So I like that whole conversation, him just explaining that to Morgan, but Morgan not really trying to hear it. Like, that was the crazy part about it. All right, next we have the callbacks. The callbacks to just previous episodes, which they've been doing a lot this season, or just they've done it a few times earlier with Glenn calling, last episode, Glenn calling Rick a dumbass, and Rick telling Morgan, I ask questions, you answer, or whatever. And then this episode, we got to see the rabbit, which we saw Morgan have previously. And then him seeing the sign for Terminus, which we saw, you know, brought us back to season 5, sort of season 4. And then also him telling Eastman to sit down before you fall. Those were the same words he told Rick in episode 1. When Rick finally got up out of bed and he had that wound, he told him, sit down before you fall. So just little small nods, but it's kind of fun seeing that stuff come back, small stuff like that. I don't know where it gets the point of being annoying versus where it's like still kind of cool. But right now I'm thinking it's still kind of cool.
Yeah, it's still kind of cool.
Yeah. Now, did you recognize the rabbit's foot at first?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It took me a second watch and then just reading stuff online to go, oh, okay, I get it. And then last I think we have on our likes is just kind of the same. Eastman was pretty cool this episode. I liked him. But him saying, you stay or go, but I will not allow you to kill me. And it's kind of like a callback again, because that's pretty much what Morgan told the wolves when he first met them.
Yeah.
Like, you can take all my stuff, but you can't take me.
Right.
So do you think Eastman gave Morgan too many damn chances?
I think he did. You know, after I let Morgan out the cell and he tried to whoop my ass in my own home.
Right.
It's a problem.
Daughter's painting got smashed.
Not only that, you know, I fed you.
Yeah.
Gave you shelter. And this is how you repay me?
Right.
In fact, I let you out of the cell that you were never locked in.
Right. Told you were never locked in. And said, hey, you can go, you can stay. I'm offering you a place to stay. So yeah. I do feel, I mean, I liked Eastman, but I felt like, and I get the whole peace and all that, but it was like too many damn chances. Like, who gives somebody that many chances in real life? Well, clearly Morgan now. So, all right. So I guess that does it for our likes.
Well, I have one more like.
All right.
I like when Morgan tried to steal the sheep and these men were saying, hey, I need that. That's not yours.
Oh, when he first got there.
Yeah.
Like, what you going to do with the sheep, dude? That sheep is, oh, it was sad when the sheep died.
Actually, Morgan was about to eat the sheep.
No, that was a goat. It was a goat.
Oh, it was a goat. Yeah.
I just start calling sheep right along with you. Yeah, it was a goat.
Yeah, it was a goat. But Morgan was about to eat the goat.
Oh, you think he was going to eat it?
Heck yeah.
Oh, poor thing.
Eastman was a vegetarian, not Morgan.
Well, now I wish that Morgan would have ate the sheep. It would have been a better way. Sheep. I call it sheep. It would have been a better way to go if he had ate that goat rather than how the walker came and ate it.
Yeah, it was wasted on a walker.
Right. So, I mean, that had to hurt. Morgan probably would have killed it fast, so.
But it was kind of cartoonish, though.
What was?
And when Morgan first got there and he said, you can't eat that goat. Then Morgan started looking around for him, shooting everywhere.
Yeah, like, where the hell was he?
And he kept popping his head up a little bit. No. Popping his head out the bush.
It didn't show him.
Go back into the bush.
But I was like, how does he see Morgan at every turn? But we do see that there's windows in his house, but still, he was sounding really clear.
Yeah, he was. He was, like, outside.
Yeah.
You saw him for a second through the bush.
Oh, I never saw him. Like, so it was showing him.
Yeah, like I said, it was kind of cartoonish. And he popped his head out, put it back down, said a couple of words, like, you leave now. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
All right, let's get to the dislikes.
Here we go.
Yep, here we go. All right, the length of the episode, it was just too damn long. And then just reading now that the guy that directed it was an executive producer on Lost, all I could think of is, dude, Lost was known for their flashbacks. Known for their flashbacks. So why didn't he do flashbacks?
If you think about it, this was a big flashback.
It was too damn long of a flashback. I'll even use the show Arrow. Arrow is pretty good with their flashbacks. They're, I mean, it's kind of, but they did a pretty good job. Like, to me, this would, if they wanted more of Morgan, they could have did it in flashbacks, and it would have been a lot better.
Flashbacks in present day?
Yeah, just flashbacks in present day.
Yeah.
It would have been much, much better. And they could have still did that hour and a half. It could have still been focusing on Morgan, like Morgan at Alexandria, trying to fit in, whatever the case may be, or talking to that wolf guy. Like, to me, that whole backstory of just sitting there, Morgan talking to himself, like, it was just too much. The length of the episode was way too long. And I think that's what lost me and lost some other people. And although I do see online that a lot of people like this episode.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a complete disappointment.
I mean, it wasn't a disappointment to me at all. It wasn't a bad episode.
It wasn't, but normally we watch The Walking Dead, we watch it two times, full two times, and I'm excited to watch a second time.
Right.
This time I'm like, ugh, like to think of watching it again, another hour and a half again? No, thank you. Like, I wasn't excited to do that. It was more like homework rather than like, oh, let me watch The Walking Dead for a second time.
No, I don't think it was homework. Me personally, I was just too tired to watch it again after working all day. You know, we had a late night, early morning.
Right. Okay.
But, I mean, I could have watched it again.
Next, and I don't know if this is just my dislike or both of us, but why were the trailers more exciting than the episode?
Yeah, that's your dislike.
Because, no, you know, every time those trailers came on, they showed a trailer for two new shows, and we were all excited, interacting, we were alert, sitting up, talking about the trailer, ooh, that looks good. And then the show came back on, and it was, like, quiet, chill mode, nothing being said.
I mean, personally, I just kept getting lost into the show. I mean, there was a couple of parts that I could have did without, but as a whole, I was satisfied. I mean, I would have liked a little more. Not longer, but a little more within that time period.
Present day?
No. A little more about maybe Eastman.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a little more about Morgan. I mean, this right here was just a psychotherapy show. It just showed the mindset of Morgan, or a mindset of a crazy person. And I guess they just picked Morgan to display that. Because, you know, Morgan's been lost for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
So I guess he was just an easy person to base a show off, I guess, mental stability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Eastman described it. He's like, you know what you're experiencing is PTSD.
And I guess, I mean, this was a show for the people that was, because there's people out there who are like, man, I'll nut up at a time like this.
Right, me.
And this show actually showed somebody who nutted up. In fact, one of our, I guess, favorite characters nutting up at a time like this.
Who you talking about, Rick?
No.
Oh, you mean Morgan. Oh, okay, you mean Morgan. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you think about it.
We already seen Rick nut up.
Yeah. And if you think about it, Nicholas nutted up as well. So a few of them have kind of had those moments.
Yeah.
And I guess Morgan, his has just been the longest, and then Rick probably comes in a close second.
Well, I don't think Morgan's been the longest. I think Rick probably would have went that far also if he didn't have all those people around him trying to bring him back. Morgan was solo.
Right.
I mean, he stayed up 24 hours straight just killing walkers and burning them.
Right. I have something to say about that, too. Now, what
did you get no sleep?
What did you think about the camera zooming in, like, every time he, like, when he went to attack Eastman and just...
You know what? I didn't like that.
Okay, I didn't either.
I didn't like that at all. Because you don't have to show me that to know he's about to attack. Surprise me.
Right. I didn't like that either. And then here is not here. Morgan, that was title episode. Morgan said it throughout the episode.
Well, Morgan wrote it on a rock.
I thought just recently with us seeing JSS and seeing Enid write JSS on her hand and the snow and the rocks with bones, I'm like, damn, we get it. Like, is the only way to get a message across is if you guys write it somewhere 100 times in an episode? Like, that's the only way to get it across to the audience? I personally was not cool with the here's not here pushed in our face over and over.
Way to think about it. These are the writers of Lost.
No, this was only the director of Lost.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
And actually, he was an executive producer on Lost, but he directed this episode.
Well, that still doesn't mean anything. There's plenty of people in the writing room. I'm pretty sure the director in there, executive, everybody's in that writing room. If you are a fan of Lost, you know that these things that they keep pushing in your face mean something, may come back later. Like, it may not mean nothing this episode, but it may mean something later.
Well, I took it as meaning something. Like, my take on it, and I may be wrong, but my take here is not here, because I've seen different theories, but my take on here is not here is kind of the same as when Daryl was like, we're not them, last season, to Rick. You know, when Rick said, we're the Walking Dead, and he's like, we're not them, and here is not here. Or even when Bob said, this world is not, this is not the world, it's just, it is what it is right now. So that's kind of took what here's not here. Like, where I am right here, right now, is not really life. It's not what it is. So that's how I interpret it, here's not here. But what I'm saying is I didn't need to see it 100 times. I need to see it written on the rock. He could have said it once, and I'm like, oh, okay. That's why the title of the episode is here's not here. Or he didn't even have to say it at all. Just seeing where he was at, here's not here, like him going cray-cray is not him. He's not in real life right now. He's in his own or whatever the case may be. They could have left it like that, but I would have understood it. I mean, just like last week when they had, what's the guy's name? Nicholas, say thank you. Like, if Nicholas never said thank you, I would have still understood the title of the episode was thank you, because Nicholas, you know, if Nicholas just killed himself and didn't say thank you, I would have been like, oh, okay, that look on his face was like a thank you to Glenn for helping me.
Well, you know, usually the title of an episode is something that's said within the episode.
Sometimes.
Or an action within the episode.
Sometimes. Because now that I'm thinking about it, they do that a lot. First Time Again, even Four Walls and a Roof last season or whatever that was.
They do it in, I guess, every episode. I mean, not just The Walking Dead.
They do it in a lot of shows.
But a lot of shows. Like, we've seen it over and over in The Wire. You know, the title. And remember some of the, I guess.
The quotes or whatever.
The quotes at the beginning. It's something they said throughout the show.
Okay. Okay, I can give it to them. But still, it was said like 100 times this episode.
But see, I didn't get no divine meaning from here is not here. I just didn't. It really didn't mean anything to me. It was like, I guess it was a good wordplay.
Mm-hmm.
Or something there. What I got out of it wasn't like, oh, wow, this is a here's not here. Only thing I thought of when I seen it was, you know how you leave somebody a message? Like, you are here.
Mm-hmm.
Draw a map somewhere and say, you are here. That's what I thought when I seen it. Like, here is not here.
I don't even get what that means right now.
It just really didn't have a meaning. It really didn't have a deep meaning for me.
Okay.
It was just like, you know, somebody, you know, like when you're in a mall or something, you see you are here.
Okay.
When somebody leaves a map for you.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like he was, I guess, leaving a blueprint out there, leaving a map, leaving a trail. And instead of saying you are here, it said here is not here.
Now, at one point, me and you, we were watching and we were like, was he mad at Rick during some of these flashbacks? And this is before he found Eastman. When he was in his home, he's like, you weren't there. Here's not. I don't know what he, like that mumble jumbo. I don't know what he was talking about.
I went back and.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was thinking that, like, could he have been mad at Rick?
Yeah.
Because he still had the walkie talkie, still had it on.
Right. I mean, I think he's okay with it now.
Remember Rick's little walkie-talkie, I guess, battery died or
well,
broke?
Rick talked on his battery, his walkie-talkie, for a long time. At least, I want to say, the whole season of season one. He even did it, in season two, because he was like, Atlanta's not safe. We left Atlanta after they left the CDC.
Yeah.
So, I think that was the last time Rick made communication, or tried to make communication with Rick, or tried to reach out to Morgan. All right, next on the dislikes, why didn't he burn those bodies of the two men he killed? Or why didn't he stab them in the head? Like, the one that came back, the whole reason why Eastman died is because one of them came back. The young one that he choked out came back. But he was burning bodies the whole time. Like, as soon as after he killed him, the next scene was him burning more bodies. And we kind of assumed, remember, we kept laughing like, oh, he has another pile. So I assume that he burned those bodies, or that, you know, that he burned them along with the walkers. So to see that one come back, and remember, that's when he started getting his PTSD and froze out, because now he saw that guy come back alive, and that's how Eastman died. Do you think it was realistic for that that body to come back?
I do not.
Because wouldn't he have finished the job?
I mean, unless he don't burn human bodies. I don't know.
He kills him but can't burn him. That's where it stops.
I mean, maybe he was just trying to survive from them. I don't know.
No, because look at Eastman was no threat to him, and he said he'll kill anybody that comes in his way. Any walker. And then not only that, once he killed them, they're gonna turn to walker anyway, so what's the difference of burning that body versus burning a walker body?
I mean, I get what you're saying. And I mean, honestly, no, it wasn't realistic.
Okay.
I mean, I would have thought that I would think that he would burn the bodies along with the walkers. But then, like I said, the only reasonable explanation is he don't burn human bodies.
That's, yeah, I just thought that was a little weird.
I think that part right there was for shock factor. It was, I guess, a little television play from the director, or I guess from the writers. That part right there was unnecessary. And, you know, it was unbelievable also. Mm-hmm. Because if he's just killing people left and right, killing walkers, we already saw that he was up for like 48, 72 hours straight just on the murdering spree.
Right.
Nonstop, burning everything. Only way I can see that happening is if he, after he killed the body, then maybe he heard the goat in the background.
But after he killed the body, we saw him burn more bodies.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It didn't happen like that.
Right.
Right after he killed the body, then you see him back in the middle up all night. Killing other stuff.
Now, shouldn't this be a reminder to him that if you don't finish a job, in this case, after he killed them, he should have stabbed him in the head? Because if you don't finish a job, then those people will come back for you. And I know that in this case, they were walkers. But to me, that should be a reminder, once again, with that whole wolf thing. Like, if you don't finish something, like, clear them, it will come back.
But, you know, he wasn't on his clear level at the time.
Right.
I mean, I can understand him letting the wolf go. I didn't really have a problem with that.
Well, seeing that background now, I didn't have a problem with him letting the wolves go that first time when he saw them in the woods and was like, no, da da da. But to see them come to Alexandria, they're obviously a threat. I mean, I know it's so hard to say kill someone, but he's killed people before. He can kill again. Like, they came back, and the guy just told you right now, I will kill you, even the children. And I don't want to get too deep into that because a listener wrote us in on that. But I don't know. I just... To me, seeing that walker come back, and it was like, if you finished him, Eastman would have never died. And now the wolf has come back, and if you don't finish him, someone else is going
to
die.
Well, it's easy to blame that on Morgan. That's not the reason that Eastman died. It's because Morgan didn't finish him.
Then why did Eastman die?
Eastman died. It was Eastman's choice. Eastman didn't have to jump in the middle and save Morgan.
Yeah. That is true. I mean, I don't know why Eastman didn't, like, throw his spear at the guy, at the walker.
He did plenty of things.
Yeah.
But what he did was jump in the middle and kind of push Morgan back. I mean, why turn your back on a walker?
Right.
You can't really blame that on Morgan. And the walker's coming, not walkers, the wolf's coming back and, you know, about to kill Rick. You can't blame that on Morgan either.
Why?
Rick was just at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Okay. Now, granted, I guess we can't blame those wolves on trying to kill Rick, because they would have tried to kill him regardless, even if they didn't have that gun. So I guess we cannot blame that necessarily on Morgan, but it is kind of...
Or if it wasn't those wolves, it would have been something else that tried to kill Rick.
Yeah.
I mean, I see it online all the time where people are saying, oh, Morgan's the reason for this, Morgan's the reason for that. You can't blame a good deed for the reason of a bad deed. you just can't do it.
Isn't there a saying, no good deed goes unpunished? Or is it wrong? Am I saying it wrong?
I mean, that is a saying.
That is a saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So what is it trying to teach you? Don't do good deeds?
No, I'm just saying that you can't really blame a good deed over something bad that happens.
No, but what is that saying, no good deed goes unpunished? I don't know if I'm getting that right. I think some reason I'm getting it wrong. No good deed goes unpunished.
I don't know. You need to look it up. You're right there in front of the computer.
Yeah. Let me look that up real quick. Something about it sounds a little off. Like, it doesn't sound right. Oh, no. It says, no good deed ever goes unpunished. This is sad. It says, beneficial actions often go unappreciated or met with outright hostility. If they are appreciated, they often lead to additional requests. I don't know. I don't agree with that. But I think that's someone's way of saying, oh, don't do good deeds, because if you do... You know, when they say don't give homeless people money, because if you do, they're just going to ask for more.
Or
don't
give them food.
Yeah,
don't give them stay food. Around and just
beg for more.
Yeah, and...
Which may be true, but I think that's kind of a way to say, oh, that's why I can't help out, because they're just going to want more.
And it's a shame, because that's people's attitude.
Yeah. And I think...
Because that's like, you know, the person who a homeless person go up to, or like you see in a restaurant, and the homeless person asks you for food. And they just sit there and blame Gary. Like, man, Gary would never give him food yesterday.
right. So, yeah, in this case, I would say it's not Morgan's fault that those wolves came back. All right.
It's not, because if you think about it, Morgan could have killed those two in the woods. Do you think that would have been the end of it? Do you actually think that the attack on Alexander wouldn't have happened if Morgan would have killed those wolves?
No, it probably would still happen.
It would still happen.
Because it doesn't look like the wolves have a leader, per se. It looks like they're all kind of just whoosh, doing their own thing. So even if those two had been killed, the other ones would have came. Last two, and I kind of already mentioned one, Morgan's ramblings. It was sort of annoying just hearing him talk cray cray. And then the last one is, you won't kill someone, but you'll whoop their ass. Like, I just didn't get that. Because he kept saying all life is precious. So isn't life precious? Doesn't that include ass whoopings? Like, you're beating people up, no?
Sometimes you got to beat some sense into people.
Okay. And that wasn't really a dislike. It was just kind of a notice. And another thing I noticed, did you notice that scene in the woods when Morgan came and it was all light? And I was like, oh, I thought I had it in my head. I was like, oh, they're going to have him get on his knees and start crying and realizing, like, all life is precious because it was all, like, beautiful flowers.
Yeah, you thought it was going to happen early.
Yeah, and the sunlight was coming down.
Yeah.
I swear that scene is from Twilight. Like, that scene, that area. I want to see if that filming was done in the same place as the first Twilight movie. Because you remember when Bella and Edward used to, like, lay in the grass?
No.
No? If anyone saw Twilight, don't be scared to admit it. It's, like, one of my favorite movies. But I swear that scene looked like Twilight. Like, any moment I thought Edward was going to come in the sunlight. And shine bright. So I don't know, I just like that scene. When I saw that scene, that woke me up because I was like, oh my gosh, reminds me of Twilight. But that's the only thing that was exciting there. All right, you guys, that covers our likes and our dislikes. I know it was kind of short, but we did the best we could with what we had.
No, it was pretty short for a long episode.
It took me a long time to, like, come up. I'm like, Garrett, what else we got. The episode could have ended in like 10 minutes because it could have been like likes, none, dislikes, too long, and then we could have did our awards. But okay, so we're gonna do listener letters. We have just a few. If you guys want to be part of the podcast, make sure you email us dead@theverdictsin.com. You can also hit us up on social media such as Twitter @theverdictsin or facebook.com/verdictsin. We do tape Monday nights, so if you want to be part of the current podcast, like the next episode, send it in by like 7 p.m. Monday night, because after we tape it, we can't go back and, well, we can, but we're not going to go back and add anything because Tuesday I'll probably edit it. And then that's why it comes out late Tuesday. So even though you don't see it up online until Tuesday, we've already taped it Monday night, which is right now. We're taping it Monday night. All right. So we have a few emails, and the first one is from Derek. And this is actually regarding episode 3. He wrote, Rick was right. They are too weak to make it in this world. Are the Alexandrians really this stupid or victims of bad writing?
I don't think they're stupid, and I don't think they're victims of bad writing. I just think they never had to deal with it. When you never have to deal with something,
okay,
you're never going to learn.
Yeah, I think,
if you don't have to defend yourself, you know, why learn karate if you never have to use it? If you never get to use it.
Right. I think it's more so of bad writing at some point, though, because we've seen several Alexandrians fall victim to one walker. You know, there's a group of them, but somehow they fall victim to one walker.
Well, I mean, somebody gotta die.
Yeah, but there's a group of them, and they're scared of three walkers. It's kind of like, come on, you guys, seriously? So, I understand them being scared of killing another human being, maybe, but...
Well, okay, all right, let me get this right. All right, you said there's a couple of them, and they're scared of, like, three walkers.
Right.
There are people to this day, and this is not the zombie apocalypse, that would go into a haunted house, scared, cry, scream, about to die in there. And you know in your head that there's no fear that will come from it. I mean, not fear.
Danger.
No danger. You won't get any bodily damage. No, nothing. Like you. You're scared of going to a haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go back to the zombie apocalypse. This shit is real. I mean, it's not actually real, people. But this shit is real.
Right.
they're in an everyday haunted house, except they can actually die. I mean, it's some scary shit.
I still think it's bad writing when they're too scared, when they do stupid shit.
I mean, there's people scared of spiders. Come on now. You know how fast people get out? Some people will move out their house because of a spider. They go in their house, drop everything to see a spider, and they will live outside until somebody come and kill that spider.
All right, so furthermore, he wrote, Sturgis, who's the guy that had the hat on, the boy that ran away, he said, shot dude with friendly fire. He's talking about Scott. And he said, basically dooming him, the black guy, of course. But you know what? Scott's still alive, and I think he's going to make it. And then he said the guy who was scared and wanted to stay put was in a walker's lap getting his throat ate out. How the F does that even happen? And we talked about that last week, about how, like, how are these people getting killed by one walker? So we agree with you there, Derek. And then he just wrote, kind of convenient that the Z's in the closet waited so long to make the noise in the pet shop, which we kind of talked about as well.
And again, just touching on the people scared of little zombies, whatever, whatever. People are scared of the things they can step on. My daughter's scared of ants. You can't step on a walker.
That's true. All right, next email is from Tiffany. And this is from last week, but I thought it related to this. Well, not related to this episode, but it was something we talked about on the podcast. Because I said, how in the hell did Rick's RV not start? And she said, I think the wolf who originally tried to shoot Rick missed and shot the dashboard of the RV. And that's why the car wouldn't start.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That does make sense. So thank you for that, Tiffany. And she also liked Gary saying walkers don't be tiptoeing. All right, we got a new email from Lola. First time writer. Long time listener. Well, I don't know, long time, but she's been listening for a while. Thank you for writing in, Lola.
Thank you, Lola.
She wrote, Nicole and Gary, hi, I've been listening to your podcast for a while, but I've never written in. A lot of people on Twitter were hating on this episode, and I do agree that it was slow. I love Morgan, and I really liked Eastman, too. I became really invested in the goat.
Aww.
My frustration was that the slowness of the pace really brought all the tension from last week to a halt. I think I would have been happier if they had intercepted Carol and Daryl somewhere in there. Carol baking a cake would have added a little more excitement. I like seeing more of Morgan, but this isn't the type of episode that I'm going to rush to rewatch. Thank you for the great podcast, Lola.
Thank you, Lola. But one thing you said is that this episode took the tension off of last episode. I think this episode kind of added tension to some people.
Why?
Because some people are ready to get back to Glenn.
I am too.
There was a lot of people ready to get back to Glenn, so this episode probably made a lot of people mad.
Yeah. No, I was excited to get back to Glenn as well, but I actually like that they did something different. Game of Thrones does that too from time to time. You know, something big happens in the next episode, instead of going right back to what happened the previous episode, they'll tell you something different. And all that does is make the audience us more excited to watch. So I was fine with him not talking about Glenn this episode. I understood that from, you know, a writing perspective or just a showrunner perspective. But to me, it was like an hour and 30 minutes. Like, really? Was it necessary? I mean, there's so many other times you could use an hour and 30 minutes. And to me, this was not one of them.
Right.
All right. Our final email is from Tiffany. She wrote, hi, guys. Not sure how I feel about this episode. Well, my bloodthirst demands slaking. I think she meant slaking. I find I'm having super mixed thoughts, feelings about Morgan's episode. Did we need it? Yes. Did we need it now? Did we need it now? Not sure. But in the episode's defense, I will say this. The new Morgan we are seeing is not as zen and Buddha-like as we all would like to believe. I.e., Morgan is one bad memory away from being the Ricktatorship's vice president, member, and client. And when I read this, I like that. I think so, too.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's bashing Morgan, talking about him and da-da-da-da, but I think Morgan's one second away. Like, say baby, I don't want baby Judith to be, like, a victim or anything like that, but say something happens to baby Judith. I don't think he's going to be forgiven and talking all that all life is precious. No one wants to hear that if a baby dies, you know? Or little Sam dies. Because he said he was going to kill the children, too. And I believe him. I believe if he gets let loose, he would kill a child. No questions asked.
I think so, too. And plus, he has nothing to live for. You know, he already had gangrene in the mouth and shit.
No, how did those teeth not fall out yet? I'm like, ew, it was so disgusting.
But then again, you know, no need to brush your teeth.
Yeah.
Like I always say, you're always in survivor mode.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think they went a little too far with those teeth.
For real. And you know how people get infected when they get bit by walkers?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I wonder if somebody get bit by him.
I don't know what would happen. What happened? Because those teeth, I don't know about those teeth. Yeah, I just don't think his teeth could have been that bad, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't think it
could have been. Well, he could have been, I guess, eating on raw rabbits, eating on raw meat.
Yeah.
Blood, you know.
More than likely, it seems like they've been eating, like, vegetables or something from the ground.
No, these are wolves, girl. The wolves.
All right. Well, they're not cannibals, are they?
They ain't cabbage. They may be cannibals.
Okay.
Hold up. Are they a part of that last group?
No.
They're not a part of them?
Mm-mm.
They're not the part of the people that ate, what's the name, leg?
The people that ate Bob's leg was the Terminus people.
Oh, they were the Terminus people.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
They're died. Remember, they killed him in the church.
Yeah.
The last of them.
Maybe there's a lot of cannabis.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe that's why they were handcuffing people.
I don't know what their deal is. They're bored. They're like just out there bored, just doing weird and evil shit for no reason.
Yeah, but thank you, Tiffany.
Wait, she wrote some more.
Oh, okay.
I'm glad that after getting his story out to the wolf, Morgan had enough presence of mind to lock the gate, especially when folks start threatening to kill children's. Really? Children's? She wrote like children's. I don't know how to say it, but it was funny. And I was happy to see him have some reservations about preserving life. Also, about Fargo Data Yoda, I think he is all preserved life because of what he did to the man that killed his family. When he finally went to take his punishment, because remember, he was going to turn himself in.
Yeah.
The world had gone to shit. So he is forever atoning for this lapse in character he had before the ZA. If he never left that backwoods place in almost 2 years, then it would make more sense. It would make sense that he thinks that living Zen-like is actually an option.
Right.
And
I agree.
Tiffany, you're making a lot of sense to this letter. I really appreciate it.
I think Tiffany one of the writers.
I know. Tiffany, are you Scott Gimple? Like, is this really Scott Gimple or somebody? I don't know. But, yeah, she's making sense here.
She's going deep inside the mind.
Right, right. But, yeah, like, just him being alone, it's kind of like the Alexandrias. Like, they don't know. They don't ever think to kill people, or they don't have people on lookout because they're not thinking people as a threat. So this guy, he doesn't seem as clueless. It seems like he kind of has an idea people are a threat. I mean, he's seen what people can do to people with the man killing his family. But I think he would kind of have a different mind frame if he was out there living day to day like Rick and them had to.
Maybe.
And she wrote, love Tabitha the goat. She was just trying to make it. She was just trying to make it too. Yeah, poor Tabitha.
Man, that should have never been a Tabitha.
I know.
Tabitha should have been eaten.
Yeah. Luckily, Daryl and Rick and them didn't come by, because Daryl would have really made a, or Carol, one of them would have made a little Tabitha stew.
Yeah, definitely. I was kind of mad he was holding on to Tabitha. What's that name of the goat, Tabitha?
Yeah.
The goat had a name, huh?
Yeah. And she asked a question about the previews for next week. I actually didn't see it, and it might be Gary said it might be considered spoiler, so I didn't even see previews for next week. So, all right. So, thank you so much for writing in.
Yeah, thank you, Tiffany.
Tiffany, Lola, and Derek. Make sure you guys hit us up, dead@theverdictsend.com. And now on to our awards, which should be really quick, and our predictions. I ain't fearing shit. I'll start it off. Honestly, there's like only two people in the episode. I mean, well, I guess if you count the wolf, I almost gave it to the wolf guy. Because like someone has you, but he's like in the same predicament as Morgan. Like someone has you in jail, you're under them, and you're telling them, I'm going to kill you. Like that's pretty damn bold.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to give it to Morgan. Only because he was out there by himself, killing walkers, burning them. I mean, he was doing some crazy shit. He really was not scared. I mean, he attacked Eastman. Those guys came after him and he wasn't scared. I mean, even if he's scared, I didn't agree with a lot of stuff he did in this episode. I haven't agreed with a lot of stuff he's done in previous episodes. But in this case, there was not that many people to choose from. So I do pick Morgan, the I ain't fearing shit.
I will most definitely have to give it to Eastman.
Okay.
Eastman let this crazy motherfucker in his house.
Right.
They have no lock on the jail cell. Then,
Taught him how to fight.
Yeah, how you gonna teach this dude how to fight?
Right.
Then give him a weapon. Remember he said, yeah, I cleaned your weapon for you.
Yeah.
Why? Eastman fed Morgan, you know, got him back up, nursed him back up to strength.
Right.
You know, he did everything in his power to give Morgan the power to kill him.
Yeah, well, when they were fighting and Morgan was on top of him, the look on Eastman's eyes was like, shit, I'm about to die. Like, he had this look like he was scared that Morgan was really about to kill him right then and there.
Yeah, right. He's the most stupidest person in the world, or he just ain't fearing shit.
All right. like I said, it was a close call between, I mean, it was a close call between the three of them, Eastman, Morgan, and the Wolf. And the reason I say the Wolf is because, like, he's telling him, he's not even, like, trying to fake the funk. Like, dude, let me go. I won't come back. He don't even say that. He's like, yeah, I'm going to kill you and the children.
Well, you know, I mean, the Wolf lose by disqualification.
Why?
I mean, he's bitten. He don't have anything to live for right now anyway.
Oh, wait, was that a bitten or a bite? I thought it was like a stab wound.
I thought it was a bite.
I forgot about that until you just said it. I thought it was a stab wound.
Whatever it is.
Because didn't he say he was trying to come there to get cleaned up or something? Yeah, why would you try to clean up a bite?
I mean, he probably don't know.
He has to know.
You know, he came there to get, I guess, medication?
Yeah.
Well, whatever it is, you know, he's a goner. He's about to die.
Maybe. I don't think he's about to die, though. I don't think that's a bite wound. I think it's someone stabbed him.
I mean, even if it's a stab wound, he's about to die. I mean, Morgan didn't give him no medical assistance.
That's true. It didn't look that bad, though. It didn't look so bad.
So, there's a lot of stuff that you would say and do.
If you think you're about to already die.
Right. If you don't have anything to live for.
Okay. All right. Most likely to die for next week, I'm going to stick with who I've said, I think, the last 2 weeks, which is Abraham.
Me, I'm a go there. And I'm just going to go ahead and say Rick.
Okay.
I just want to see exciting change for once.
All right. Rick dying?
I want to see a main character die.
Yeah, I mean, I used to think it was not possible at all for them to kill Rick. But at this point, I think they can kill Rick. I think the show can hold without Rick.
I think the show will go on.
Yeah, it'll go on. I mean, I love Rick. When he gets so mad. Do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who I am? I'm like, damn, Rick, who are you exactly? But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want them to kill Rick, poor Carl. But yeah, I could see it happen, but I don't think it's gonna happen now. And they just renewed Walking Dead for season 7, which people are excited about. I'm like, duh, did you ever think they wouldn't? So I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah, then it'd be a good change.
Yeah, it would. I mean, it'd be cool. I mean, they killed Ned Stark, so. That shocked me.
Yeah.
So. All right, you guys. Well, that does it. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next Sunday with an instant cast. We're going out of town, but we should be back in time.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll be back next Sunday, instant cast. Hit us up. We'll be back next Tuesday with our full recap.
Right.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Good night.
Good night.